Association Preserve Cape Cod is Cape Cod's largest and most broadly based environmental education and advocacy organization. We've been up and running since 1968 in response to a plan then by the Army Corps of Engineers to dredge the Great Nauset Marsh and turn it into a deep water port. So we've been going after and protecting the Cape from bad ideas for the last 53 years, and have a tendency to now focus most of our work on water quality, climate change, our response to climate change, and ways that people can help the environment through changing their own land use, lawn care practices in a way that supports local wildlife, native species, and reduces impacts on water quality.
In those 53 years, how long have you been involved with the association, and how have you seen it grow over your time as executive director?
Well, I've been executive director for the last 4.5 years, but interestingly enough, my family, I believe, are charter members, so I've been aware of APCC activities and materials in my household since I was 5. You know, the organization has in some ways changed, in some ways stayed very much the same. I think what sets APCC apart is that from very early on, it had a commitment to advocacy based in science. The organization has always prided itself in knowing what it's talking about and being able to present information about the environment in digestible ways to people who care about the environment so that they can take action. And I think that ethos has been a consistent part of who APCC has been, regardless of who the executive director has been and regardless of who the board and staff have been. So I think that has stayed consistent. You know, I think where we have evolved a little bit is with the changing times and recognizing that different eras, you're fighting different fights, you're looking to protect resources in different ways. And so while the strategy of protecting the water resources, the landscape of Cape Cod has remained the same, the tactics that we've employed have evolved to meet the challenges of the era that we're working in.
Can I have a report on the conditions of the Cape Cod waters?
Sure. So APCC now for the 3rd year in a row has issued what we call the State of the Waters Cape Cod, which is a report that we issue annually in the fall of each year that provides an assessment based on the prior year's data of the quality of estuaries, freshwater lakes and ponds, and drinking water on Cape Cod. And what we do is rely on existing data for the most part that's already in the public domain. We compile it, analyze it, and provide a very easy to understand acceptable or unacceptable rating in the context of ponds and estuaries, and excellent, good, and poor for drinking water supplies. And our report enables a user to look at a very high level and see what things look like, utilizing a red is bad, blue is good scale, or dive down as deeply as they want to into the individual data that exists around one particular sampling station. So people can look at that report on APCC.org and get into it as far as they want. In summary, what we're seeing in our surface waters is decline in quality, both in the fresh and marine environments, driven largely by nutrient inputs from inadequately treated septic effluent. Basically, our choice on the Cape to rely primarily on septic systems has had grave consequences for our water resources. And how that's played out in the marine environment is that 87%, in other words, 41 of the 47 estuaries for which there was data sufficient to analyze, had unacceptable water quality in some or all of that embayment. There are no south-facing embayments on Cape Cod that have acceptable water quality anymore. And that's directly as a result of nitrogen from septic systems finding its way into the estuaries and causing algal blooms that have upset the natural balance of the ecology and resulted in the collapse in most of the systems on Cape Cod. The only ones that we see remaining that have acceptable water quality are on the north side of the Cape, largely due to the fact that there's somewhat less density of development, combined with the fact that tidal exchange on the north side of the Cape is many times larger than tidal exchange on the west and south-facing sides. and the estuaries on the north side tend to have bigger openings, which allows for, more tidal exchange of relatively clean water from Cape Cod Bay entering the inland estuaries. On the ponds, the pond data record is less robust than the estuaries. We only have information adequate to evaluate on about 10% of the ponds on Cape Cod. There are almost 1,000 ponds on Cape Cod. We're looking at slightly more than 100 of them. And of that, what we found is that the conditions exist in the majority of those ponds that could result in unacceptable water quality in any given year, but that year over year, we're seeing about a third of the ponds that we're monitoring in any given year exhibit the water quality that would indicate unacceptable conditions existed during a portion of the year. And very often, those come in the form of cyanobacteria blooms that resulted in one of the community's local board of health issuing a advisory for people to limit contact with a pond given concerns about toxic levels of cyanobacteria in the water. So ponds are, as their estuarine counterparts, impacted by nutrients. They tend to be more heavily impacted by phosphorus rather than nitrogen, but the dynamic is the same. Too much septic, poorly treated septic effluent, too much fertilizer runoff from lawns and gardens, too much of an impact from removal of vegetated buffers around pond shorelines that take up nutrients before they enter the water, and untreated stormwater, all are combining to put our ponds under a great deal of stress. The story around drinking water is somewhat better. 13 of the 20 municipal water supply systems that we evaluated had excellent ratings. 6 had good, 1 had poor as a result of a bacteriological contamination in a portion of their delivery system that required customers to boil water for a couple days before consuming it. But in general, water supply remains of high quality on the Cape. And the reason water supplies are better than surface waters is that decades ago, public policy decision was made to protect well areas, water supply, recharge areas, both for existing wells and for future wells. And towns have done a really good job managing development within the areas that are most critical to their water supplies. And as no great surprise, when you manage something, it tends to stay of better quality than when you allow things to just happen. We've allowed things to just happen around our ponds and our estuaries, and the result has been poor water quality.
With this poor water quality, what are some things that we can do to try to improve that? I know you mentioned that the septic systems have quite the impact on the water quality, but what are some things that we can do for folks on the Cape to improve it?
It's not that complicated, and it's not, frankly, that hard. It is expensive. The primary way that we're going to reverse the trends that we've documented the last several years has been to improve the quality of wastewater treatment on Cape Cod and the islands, frankly, as well. So what does that form? Does that take? For most towns on the Cape, it involves some municipal infrastructure, commonly considered sewers, to collect wastewater out of the densest, most critical areas that are having the biggest impact on water quality, bring that wastewater to a modern wastewater treatment facility, and take the nutrient load out of it for discharging relatively clean effluent back into the ground. And that process is underway after many, many, many years of delay in most towns across the Cape. We're seeing signs of progress, and so that needs to continue. We are not going to solve this problem without significant investment across the region in municipal wastewater treatment facilities. That said, there are other strategies and techniques out there that can be used immediately while those infrastructure projects are winding their way through the system. The biggest, simplest thing and cheapest thing people can do is lay off the fertilizers. Accept the fact that that suburban putting green lawn is not suitable in large scale on Cape Cod. It results in large utilization of drinking water supplies for irrigation purposes. It requires lots of fertilizers because our soils are not very good and don't support turf fields very well. And it requires pesticide use, which has a whole range of issues associated with it. So the best thing people can do is lay off the fertilizers. If you need a lawn, minimize the size of it. You should consider what are considered typically more Cape Cod style lawns, some typical grasses, some moss, some clover, but those are types of lawns that, you know, will go dormant in the summer, during the heat of the summer, come back in the spring and fall, and don't require and rely on a lot of fertilizers. For those that are fortunate enough to live along the water, restoration of vegetative buffers using natural native species to the Cape also provides an opportunity to, you know, have a attractive landscape that's supportive of native birds and pollinators, and that also serves as a nutrient barrier between your yard and the water body. Those are all things that people can do now. It doesn't require any municipal action. It just requires the desire and will of the individual to minimize their footprint on the environment. And at APCC.org, we have a ton of really good information on how people can make landscaping choices in their own yard that are good for the environment and good for water quality at the same time. And lastly, the biggest thing I think people can do, in addition to changing their own personal practices, is make it known to your local elected leaders, boards of selectmen, town councilors in the town of Barnstable, the priority that you as an individual assign to water quality, and make it clear to them that having these unacceptable conditions in our ponds and bays, which are the reason most people are on Cape Cod, is an unacceptable outcome, something that we can't allow to continue, and that as an individual, you know, your expectation and support goes to municipal projects that will improve water quality. Without the building of that local political will, you know, this is going to take longer than it should, and we're going to continue to suffer increasing declines in water quality.
So you kind of touched on this a little bit with the advocacy, but I just wanted to ask, what are some ways that our listeners can support the APCC?
Well, we're a membership organization, and so, you know, our strength comes from having numbers and members, both, you know, financially to be able to maintain the staff to do the work that we're doing. But also, you know, we routinely and regularly send out action alerts and information to membership suggesting that they consider a certain public policy position and convey that to the local elected leaders. So having a bigger membership base allows us to convey that message to more people. We recognize, obviously, that not everybody takes action on messages we send out. So the bigger the base, the more action that tends to get generated. And, you know, it's a reality that at this local level of politics, it doesn't take many people communicating with town hall for town hall and boards of selectmen to grasp the importance of issues to their voters. And, you know, local government and local government on the Cape in particular remains an area where government actually works and it's responsive to the desires, needs, and will of the people that live in their communities. If you want to see some change, you know, becoming an APCC member is an important way to stay plugged in and get some guidance on when the right time is to take action, when town meetings are, what are the articles of concern that benefit the environment or might harm the environment that warrant your attention at town meetings. APCC.org is a one-stop location to get all that information. The only other thing I want to let people know is, you know, in addition to sort of the wastewater focus, you know, we're also, you know, keenly aware of and paying attention to protection of bigger issues that pertain to water supply protection. You know, we're currently engaged in ensuring an adequate review of the impacts of the multipurpose machine gun range proposed at Joint Base Cape Cod on the water resources that supply drinking water to six Upper Cape towns. We're fully engaged in making sure that the plan that was recently discussed and revealed by the decommissioning, the company that owns Pilgrim Nuclear Power Plant to discharge 1 million gallons of radioactive water into Cape Cod Bay is not allowed to proceed. So there are a lot of things that keep coming up that are of concern to the broader Cape that we do our best, very best to stay on top of and again, serve as a funnel of information for people who are concerned about quality of life on the Cape to access that easily.